This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Good morning. 2023 elections very much around the corner. The polity heating up day on, day after day. Campaigns starting in what exactly 7 days' time, less than a week or a week from now. But then the major focus has been with the security situation in the country lately. At various times, we've heard the military, the president, individuals, groups worry or show concern about whether or not the current security situation in different parts of the country could influence the election, affect the election, even perhaps cause the election not to hold in some parts. There is that fear. I'll tell you something quickly. A former chief of army staff and the Minister of Interior, General Abdurrahman Adambazau, he had said that the activities of terrorists and members of IPOB constitute a major threat to the 2023 elections. We all remember what happened in the 2019 election in the Southeast, where there were talks of the Southeasterners not going to come out to vote, and people said perhaps that influenced the number of votes in that region. Many talks. So we have bandits, we have terrorists, we have kidnappers, we have IPOB, we have all of these together. Threats that we've even had that elections would not hold in some parts of the Southeast for somewhat reasons have raised concerns. And people are saying, if there is insecurity, would people be confident enough to come out and vote the candidate of their choice? Assurances have been given by the military. Sometime last week, the military put out a statement assuring that they were going to ensure of a good environment for the elections. Chief of Army Staff, Lieutenant General Farouk Yahaya, was the one who said this. He says the army remains committed to discharge its constitutional responsibilities and assist in providing secured environment for the conduct of the general elections through an operation safe conduct. Well, I have my guest with me in the studio, who's an analyst and will be speaking with me on this particular issue. He's also a coordinator of Unity House Foundation. Achinike Owomka. I hope I got the name correctly, because we'll be going back and forth with your name. We go back and forth with your name most of the times.
Okay. Good morning, listeners.
Good morning to you. You're welcome to studios. Quickly, straight to the point. The insecurity situation we have now. We have people coming out to do their PVCs. People came out in mass. People registered. People are collecting their PVCs. But the worry is, would people be ready to come out and vote if this problem of insecurity is not addressed? Which brings us to the question, could insecurity affect voter turnout?
Okay, definitely, yes, insecurity can affect voter turnout, because people actually want to come and vote, not to come and die or not to come and risk their lives. So, to a very large extent, if the atmosphere is quite insecure, most persons will not come and vote. Most persons will not come and vote. So, that is why we are all bothered about security as the election is coming, drawing near. And in any case, this insecurity, you know, is in faces. I'm not here as a security personnel though, but as a citizen, as a concerned citizen. And you see, there are things that constitute insecurity in election. For instance, the Dan Bazon mentioned about the activities of IPOD and the terrorist activities. But that apart, there is also another level of insecurity who can come in form of intimidation, like as the election draws closer now, you know, there are some persons you know, that may want to start recruiting boys to intimidate their opponents. You know, most party leaders, most party supporters, they want to prepare as if they are going to war instead of campaign. You know, we experienced a lot of such scenario here in River State in 2015. You know, where a certain party may have a rally or a program, and you see talks and all those things coming to disrupt. No, so in area where even such activity, now it's not a terrorist issue. But in areas where such activity, such kind of activities are high, people would feel intimidated not to come and vote.
Mm.
You know, when there is that atmosphere of, you know, attacks, opponents versus opponents attacking each other and all that, definitely people will not turn out to vote. And that is what we want to, we're preaching against, especially in Unity House Foundation.
But quickly now, in as much as all of this has happened, what could be responsible for it? What could be the reason why this? Many have said this approach is even a tactics by politicians, perhaps to get people not to come out and vote so that they can have their way and, you know, do what they want to do so their candidate would emerge victorious. But what would you say from your observations is responsible for that kind of atmosphere, especially when we're building up to elections? Or do you agree that it's now a tactics that has been employed?
Of course, in the past, politicians used that as a tactics. And what's responsible is two ways. One, the political leaders. Some political leaders actually don't have much to offer. They don't have much to bring to the table when it comes in terms of service. Some of them probably have been in government and couldn't deliver. And maybe an opposition party comes up with a more vibrant and promising candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So they resort to violence to intimidate them, to make people that want to vote them not to come out to vote.
Yes.
Then on the other hand, the youths. Most youths have nothing to offer. Two, they are not putting value into the system. So what they know is, as election is coming now, they begin to rally around those political leaders and men in authority and with money, you know, to kind of become their talk.
But is that not a problem of politicians, perhaps, who have used this as a tool and weaponized it and begin to use it to see how they win elections?
It's a tool, and that is why we are, you know, hammering and preaching against it. Because without the youth accepting to do that dirty job, definitely the work will not be done.
But if the youth is hungry, what happens?
If the youth, that's what I'm saying. If the youth is hungry, that mustn't be the way. You mustn't do that. Because if you know that this man has been in government and wouldn't benefit anything, and the election is coming, he's bringing money for us to go and purchase arms. He's bringing money to sponsor us to go and do charms, as if we are going into war. When you take the money, why not go home and relax? Why must you do it? You are not under a compulsion to do it. But even the youths want to, sometimes they feel in doing that, when the man wins, the man will recognize them. But history has shown that most times, immediately after the election is over, those men, they don't even create a venue for them and the talks to meet again. So the youths, on the other hand, has a role to play. They have to be wise. They have to know that this man is using us. Since he has been enjoying, since he has been in power, since he has nothing for us to do for him to gain power, he has not come to us, he hasn't invited us, we don't meet with him. So why now?
Well, people say perhaps this time the youths are more woke, that's the popular language now, and more aware and conscious politically, and we might not see these sort of things happen. Do you agree with it, especially when you see the participation of youths in marches and being vocal about candidates? Do you feel like this election might be one that would not experience that level of insecurity because of the youthful participation at the level that it is now?
That will be as a result of constant awareness creation, constant talking to the people, letting them know. It's not like automatically now it won't be so. No, there are many youths in the villages. They are just there like a gunpowder waiting to explode. So the moment these guys comes with all these things, they just pick up. But in any case, more youths are now beginning to, especially more of the educated youths. Because in the past, you'd be surprised that me, I've seen graduates participate in election togre. I've seen it in the past. But in any case, there is a little more awareness on the part of those that are academically enlightened a bit now. You know, I'm hopeful, or we believe they will not go deep into that. And but the worry still remains that there are a lot of folks out there in the communities waiting to perform mayhem.
So conversations have been held as to perhaps the insecurity, especially in the northern part of the country, northwest and all those areas, banditry and terrorism. There are talks that we might not even see election hold in some communities or some areas, some states, if this continues. And it brings us to ask this question: if it's something that, when you look at it, do you feel that we might get to that position? In the southeast, for instance, we have the IPOB agitation, and we've been having to sit at home for a while, even if IPOB comes to say that they're not the ones doing it. In Imo State, we know what has happened in Imo State. We're also aware of the jailbreaks that we've had. And people were even saying when those jailbreaks happened, oh, elections are coming. People are beginning to see what they would do. That's how public opinion would paint it. For you, when you see these things, do you think that we might have an election where every state would have no postponement whatsoever?
Okay, the one thing is that the security apparatus of this country has the capacity to hold any place down for any particular event to occur. For instance, on election day,
yes,
the Nigerian security, the army and air force and police, they have the capacity to hold on everywhere for election to hold. It's an event. Election is an event. But then, those areas where those activities are happening, they are the one that will suffer the disadvantage of what they are doing. Because on that, the election will actually hold there. And results will be declared based on who voted, not based on total number of registered voters. I don't know if you understand. For instance, if you have a million registered voters in that area, and this activity of insecurity is a threat and others is going on there, on election day, the security forces will hold down that place. It doesn't matter who has been doing what. They will hold down that place for election to hold. If 10 persons comes out to vote, that vote will be recorded and declared based on 10 voters. So you see that.
And that would be unfair to other people who registered but then couldn't come out to vote.
Yes, it will be unfair to that particular people. That's what I'm saying. It will not, the disadvantage will not be to the whole country. It will be to that particular area, because they will end up producing candidates they never wanted to. Because at the end of the day, if the security holds down the security situation in the place and voting is allowed to hold, then what it means is that any candidate with a stronger force to muster his core believers, core supporters, to come out and vote. In fact, it will only be core supporters that can come out in the face of threat and, you know, to vote. And vote will be declared based on that. So if you're hoping maybe, for instance, there is a candidate for a particular position, it could be president and all those in your area, and you want the person to win, you and your brothers will make it impossible for the person to win. Then after election, you begin to complain. Because other areas where there is peace, they will turn out in large masses and vote for their own candidate and vote for their interests. I don't know if you understand what I mean. So that is the disadvantage of that. But as for election holding, security will hold down the place for election to hold in everywhere.
So, for instance, you believe that in the Southeast, we wouldn't have any issues like the 2019 election where, you know, we had comments. And remember, we have the leader of the proscribed group Nnamdi Kanu, in court. And with the elections campaign starting soon, elections around the corner, people are saying that could, if not properly handled or settled in time, is still in court. And his lawyer even said his health is deteriorated, and people are saying, well, that is a signal for some level of unrest that may happen in the Southeast, like we're already seeing in some parts of the Southeast already. You don't think that the elections in that area might be one that could not go on, that could not have the turnout that we'd expect?
That is just what I've said. They can, in protest, decide not to even come and vote. They can decide to make the place look as if there will be no election. But on election day, election will hold.
All right, hold that thought there. On Facebook, we have a question up there. Quickly, you can react to it as we go on this short commercial. How confident are you in the security of the country ahead of the elections? How confident are you in the security of the country ahead of the elections? Let us know. Facebook Live and on Twitter, we are live as well. Nigeria Info PH. WhatsApp is 0809-030-6416. We'll be right back.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Yeah, so here we are. Insecurity, a major concern as we draw closer to the campaigns and the elections next year. You're really aware of the terrorism, banditry, and the issues we have in the Southeast, kidnapping, just to mention a few. But what you haven't also paid attention to is how youths have been weaponized and used as thugs for some politicians and political parties who want to emerge victorious. Some people would say using the back door. Well, still very much have my guest here in the studio, but you can be part of the conversation. Do well to join us live on Facebook, okay? Nigeria Info PH on Facebook. We are live. And on Twitter as well, Nigeria Info PH, we are also live. So you can drop your comments. There's a question up there on Facebook. How confident are you in the security of the country ahead of the elections? How confident are you in the security of the country ahead of the elections? Many say if there's insecurity, not many would come out to vote. How confident are you in the security of the country ahead of the elections? Would like to find out. I'll just take about 2-3 comments first on Facebook Live before we continue. Ogu Ojone Justice says, election will hold except the world comes to an end. No amount of insecurity pretends danger to election because it's all have political undertones. Boniface Ufe says, best point of concentration. On WhatsApp, this one says, no amount of insecurity in any local government, constituency, senatorial zone, state or region can stop elections in Nigeria. If you're not voting, another person will vote and results will be announced. This person says, most of the states will not conduct elections successfully because of insecurities, and no right-thinking person will want to risk his or her life to go to such communities in the name of conducting elections. Government must wake up. Ezekiel Azaya. So this already would mean some people being disenfranchised, and that's a fear for people now. Are we going to get the candidates that we want if this is not resolved as quickly as possible? Looking at the situation and the local communities where attentions have not been paid to very much, especially when we're building towards election, the role of government in all of this? Is there, how does government contribute, or politicians and political parties? I think that's the way to put it. What is their role in how young people in our local communities take to violence during elections?
The role of, I guess, the role
political
of
parties, political politicians.
Parties. Okay, by way of getting, like I said, we'll continue, everybody has to, all hands has to be on deck. Everybody has to continue contributing, talking, creating awareness, creating consciousness. And in order to get politicians and parties, you know, to assist to reduce the rate of insecurity as these elections are coming now, Unity House has organized a program in which almost all the aspirants will also come and reassure the people of their commitment
to
peace.
Does that work?
I'm coming.
We have the Abdusalami-led panel that also does the same.
I'm coming. Okay, in that program, the youths will be part of it. The candidates will be, have made commitments to be part of the program, and the DJNIA, Professor Sage, will be there, you know, to talk. And Unity House, led by Wene Dawale, we want to continue the campaign from there. It's like a launch of a campaign process, which will now, you know, trickle down to the communities and all that. Then, that apart, another area where these things can be managed or curtailed, I think the chiefs and the CDCs of communities should from now take preventive measures, because these things happens in the communities, not on air, not on space. It happens in the communities, and everywhere there is insecurity, there are people in charge of those localities or those areas. So I think if communities can also come up, have their Council of Chiefs meeting, you know, establish a principle, establish a code of conduct, so to say. Mm. As this election is coming now, anybody that does this, anybody that stops another person from campaigning, anybody that engages in a fight, this is what the community will do to that person.
What do you think about that? How do you think that would turn out? Especially when, if we look at the situation, accusations over the years, some people would say even that in our local communities we have leaders, traditional leaders, chiefs, elders, who also have a role to play in the violence that occurred during elections. They also sometimes in court, they allege that they have their boys. You have people who tell you that even some of these traditional rulers belong to one group or the other, cult group in some cases. If this is anything to go by, do you think that at the community level, where many politicians feel the grassroots is where you can win an election, if that is speculation, is anything to go by, how sure are we that we would see effective implementation of whatever agreements that these leaders would have at the community level to ensure security is guaranteed towards elections?
Okay, there's a way local communities operate. That is why we believe that those measures should be taken now that the violence has not started. Now that you cannot say, oh, now my boy do him, or you get. Now, if that position is taken across the communities, most communities have CDC and other, if they take that position and make it known in the community that who does this, the community will do this. Mm-hmm. Now, when that thing happens, the victim, the party that becomes victim of that, at least nowhere to take it from. I don't know if you understand. For instance, if there is an attack on a particular party, they can go back to the chiefs to say, see these people, do it in, you know, and I say, make them no do. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, that is a point of expression of, let's say, anger or whatever. Because if that thing is not put in place and people are just left to move on, carry on, there will be reprisals. I hope you understand. But this one, at least, it will give a room for somebody to have where he feels legitimate to air an offense committed against him.
But,
and where the chiefs also tries to, you know, maybe due to somebody close to him is responsible for that and all that, there is a way to be discussed. But the thing is that people, actions have to be taken instead of leaving things plain like that.
A typical example, look at what's happening, what happened or what's still happening in parts of the Southeast. Remember one time we had the traditional leaders under the Ohanaeze Ndigbo talking about the activities of insecurity and calling the young the youths and those behind this to stop it. I'm pretty sure we might have also had traditional rulers lend their voices for calm and for peace to come to the region. But it doesn't seem to, it seemed to be falling on deaf ears. So, again, how much guarantee would you say Nigerians should have? In the Northwest, we've also had traditional leaders complain. And how they have tried, they are talking in the North Central, in the Northeast, in Benue State, as I said, one place to go to, if you want to make an example of this issue, even here in Rivers State, let's just take an example of what's happening in the Emo Akalabari Road, for instance. The insecurity around that area, the people did not fall from the sky.
Yeah.
So the question still remains, if we are going to want to look or depend on traditional rulers and CDCs to do something, what's the guarantee if, from now, things that we are seeing doesn't point to a direction that these people might have the ability to call youths in their localities to order? And even for security agencies, I'll go back again to the Emo Akalabari Road. The question is, why is that still happening and security agencies are there? It's not tackled. The issue in the Southeast, in Imo State, in parts of Anambra State and other parts, we still have people who do not open their shops because the group said so. And then we have security agencies who are supposed to make sure people are safe, but it's not happening. You go to the Northwest, it goes on, the list goes on and on. What's the guarantee then?
And the issue of Northwest, you remember that the first time progress was made was when communities, you know, took up the challenge. That was the first time a level of progress were made. What do they call them? The local security, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They now came up, you know, started working with the military and all that, and there was a level of peace, stability, though not final. Now, if you look at River State, there was a time River State was so insecure that even you close from work here now, you are afraid of going, because even in broad daylight, two small boys can wallet you. Until communities came up with a security architecture. In fact, nightlife died as at that time, until communities came up with a security architecture, you know, started with the OSPAC and it was spreading around. Mm-hmm. And every communities, I know, we had those, they took it serious. We had the chiefs, because the chiefs were giving permission for those things to come into their area. And those boys were working, you know, started working with the chiefs and the community. And most communities gained stability. Most community, 80 to 90% of the communities. So in anyhow, you see community, you see insecurity. The locals matters a lot in achieving peace and stability. Now, some things may be ideological or political. For instance, the iPod issue is not really about election. Mm-hmm. They have something. They have,
but demands. It affects the elections.
Then the issue of the Boko Haram is not about election. But in any case, if the communities narrow down on this issue of election, knowing the importance that at least, Even if what you are demanding for is not out of place, even if what you are demanding for has not come yet, but let us use this one. Let us do this one first and do it well. Let us choose the right persons. It is an opportunity for people to vote the right candidates. If they itemize electoral election violence as an item to handle, it will go a long way in stabilizing the communities for election. Because whether they do or not, elections will come and go, and the insecurity where it will continue, it will still continue. But the advantage of doing this now is for at least the communities, the areas, to be able to have that freedom to produce who they want, where, and you know what office they want to. And also, it will also help the communities if there is stability during the election. It has a way of making people have the right to demand for things and all that, you know, in the government. So any community that the chiefs, the community leaders just sit and allow politicians do their things and just believe, let's pray this election comes and goes, let's rest. They are not doing their self good.
Okay. Let's open the phone lines and hear from you. 0817-923-0002 Again, 0817-923-0003 those are the numbers to call. WhatsApp is 0809-030-6416. With the campaigns around the corner, there are concerns already with the insecurity we are currently seeing in various parts of the country. How confident are you in the elections coming? How confident are you in the elections coming? Are you confident in the security status of the country ahead of the elections? Or you think perhaps it might get worse or it's going to get better? Stanley on Facebook Live says, good morning to you and your guest in the studio. I'm very interested in this topic. Your guest is making sense. Okay. Samuel is calling from Odili Road this morning. Good morning, Samuel.
Good morning.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. I've been listening to your guest since I've been following your program. I want to say this. Election 2023 election, I know that there is insecurity everywhere in this country today, in most of states. But I think we have a security agency that can take care of that. That one cannot stop the election, because I know nobody is bigger than the government today when it comes in time of maybe insecurity today, because they have already put everything in place if they want to do this election 2023 in most of those places that there is insecurity. But with the government's power, I think everything will be okay. And I want to say, even for the electorate also, because the PVC they collected now show that people will come out in mass to vote the election in 2023 with the PVC people collected. This thing have never happened in the history of Nigeria before, but because of what is happening now and what the kind of things and the PVC that people collected in this time around shows that they want to make a change come 2023. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Samuel. Would you say that insecurity is something? Would you agree that it's something that's been used to manipulate election figures?
Yes, sure.
So, if that's the case, then doesn't that mean we have a huge fight on our hands ahead of 2023?
That is why we're trying to. That's why we're trying to face it now and talk about it. And because insecurity is a tool, people in the past, like I said, those in authority use it. They use it to intimidate opposition party. And, you know, that is where the issue comes from. When that intimidation is high, we have seen in this state where even security agencies was used to intimidate parties in the past. But I don't think that is going to happen again. But then the those in authority, those political leaders, aspirants, and all that, some of them use whatever resources they have as an advantage to intimidate opponents. And that doesn't make sense. That is what we are, you know, preaching and campaigning against.
All right, good news from our three. Good morning.
Good morning, my brother.
Go on. Andy. You're welcome.
I want to make sure you.
Go ahead. Good news.
Thank you. Talking about insecurity from confidence. As far as this election coming, I am supposed to be confident that there will be insecurity. That the insecurity will be at peace. Not because we have police or army, but because of the system the INEC is bringing, the PIVAT. That alone should come. But following what has happened, what is happening, for example, you see a certain political party, only one political party, taking all other political parties to court, to ensuring that they don't contest. And that is a sign that a particular party wants to cause trouble. And tomorrow, if this person, what about those parties, wins in court and things start from the entire election? I believe that they've done the legal side, they didn't succeed. They may try to see how they can sponsor people, sponsor their boys or thoughts, to go and attack parties which they took to court, where they are more popular, to ensure that they want to vote because they may like not win those places. And I am confused because I know that if I like those parties, according to the PIFA, that there was only 21 carrying ballot boxes. The one who is doing talking, but I think for what some person may say that you have been losing social unit, and it's the local unit to that for them to mobilize people to go across trouble okay, and enter people to make sure that the opposition loses, and it causes increased security. So we should talk on this more. My name is Kudu.
All right, good news. Thank you very much. This one says, no insecurity affects any election in the North, not even Borno State. Community should unite against every evil in their land. Nothing security agents can do without community cooperation. Ogo Junior Justice. The talks of even politicians, political parties, people in public office weaponizing local security outfits is also a question that's been raised. Remember what happened when the Neighborhood Watch was being created, the comments that came out, and or it could be used for electioneering purposes. And even with the local security outfits that we have, OSPAC and the likes of them, even when MOHA came up with Imovis, people also have still suggested that these things could be weaponized during elections. How do we then manage this in like 1 minute? How is it possible for us to do this? The Amotekun that was set up in the Southwest, there were also conversations around this particular, it could be used for this. And this is one thing that has hindered state police, because the conversation would be governors will now have power to control and it could be used during elections. In 1 minute, what's your take and how can we address that?
Okay.
1 minute.
All over the world, once somehow one or two security personnel will go out of their line of duty and commit one crime or the other. But that doesn't mean that the entire system, you know, like me, I think the coming of OSPAC or whatever helped a lot. So one or two members of OSPAC may, you know, do one or two funny things. And if that issue is addressed or those personnel are addressed, it doesn't mean that the entire system is terrible. And most of these larger ones you mentioned, some are just for political reasons, the way I see it. Most of them are just for political reasons. Like the one you talked about in River State. You know, I believe the way the governor handled the issue, you know, it created a kind of suspicion and panic in the all opposition parties, and that is why they feel this.
All right, thank you very much, but we have to draw the curtain here. 9 o'clock, the news, world news. Jude comes in with Hello Port Harcourt. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Good morning.